Wyoming's Red Desert. It's treasured for different reasons by different people. For some, it should be left alone for its natural beauty. For others, it should be open to use for resources like energy and grazing. But those two different ways of seeing the desert can create conflicts with how to manage it. And that's put the Bureau of Land Management in a tight spot as they tackle a new broad-scoping resource plan intended to last 2 decades. Much of the desert is currently open to development, but conservationists want to see that plan include more protected wilderness areas. As one of a two-part series on the Red Desert, Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards took a flight over the area to see how wild the place really is.
When I was a kid, my dad worked in an oil field somewhere near Kilpecker Sand Dunes in the northern Red Desert near Rock Springs. One day, my brother and I got lost out in the sand. One of my dad's fellow roughnecks had to come rescue us. So I'm a little nervous in the Red Desert, but today I'm conquering my fears. I'm flying in a tiny plane crammed with 5 others over those very same sand dunes.
So if you guys can see up ahead, we're starting to see the Kilpecker Sand Dunes. This is one of the largest migrating sand dune complexes in the world and the largest in the lower 48.
The wind moves these sand dunes, a ribbon of yellow that seems to go on forever in both directions. Beyond is the iconic notched shape of the boar's tusk, a single rock jutting up on the plain. Nearby, tiny dots graze. It's wild horses. Our guide is Wyoming Wilderness Association's Kyle Wilson. He argues that more of the land below us should be protected as wilderness.
The Red Desert is the most misunderstood landscape in Wyoming. I've heard from many people who drive through Wyoming that that part of the state is a wasteland, and it's completely opposite of that.
In fact, he says, it's home to a rare herd of desert elk and the longest mule deer migration route in the world, bringing them from the Tetons all the way down to winter here. But while it might not have fences, the Red Desert does have plenty of roads. From above, I see them crisscrossing everywhere, no destination in sight except gas wells.
You really get an idea of how many roads are out here when you look from above.
And it's the number of roads that's the biggest block to convincing the U.S. Congress to designate the Northern Red Desert's many study areas as true wilderness. That's with a capital W, a title reserved for only the most pristine lands. No human structures, no machinery, no wheeled vehicles, and no roads. Wildlife biologist Eric Mulvar is the author of Wyoming's Red Desert, A Photographic Journey.
Well, wilderness has a very specific legal definition under the law. It means it's a place where the landscape is predominantly natural. It means it's a landscape which doesn't have heavily developed roads.
Less than 3% of the Northern Red Desert qualifies for wilderness status. The rest of its 3.5 million acres is already too developed for that designation. But Mulvar is worried energy and mining development could encroach on even that 3%. He says the BLM doesn't even require energy companies to get approval before building more roads.
The BLM is not like the Forest Service, where the Forest Service has a system of roads that each one has a number, each one's on the map. The BLM pretty much treats these roads as if they belong to the oil and gas industry, and any kind of secondary use is incidental.
But BLM Rock Springs field manager Kimberly Foster says making these lands available to energy development is part of their mission, too.
If you're in a pristine wildlife area, that's kind of the highest and best use of that, then that's what we'll try to protect. If you're in a, you know, heavily developed area that has a high potential for oil and gas resource recovery, then, you know, maybe that becomes the highest and best use of that area.
Foster says she doesn't know what the upcoming plan will include, but she does know a lot has changed in the last 20 years. Sage grouse almost went extinct. The energy industry developed new, highly effective extractive technologies, and the longest mule deer migration route was discovered. She says whatever decisions are made in the new plan, they won't have a chance to be revised again for 20 years or more. Foster says that means they have to think long-term for everyone with a stake in the area.
Because ultimately we're just the keepers of the land for the citizens, so that's kind of the biggest challenge, is just trying to resolve those conflicts.
Foster says her office will release a draft of the plan this next spring for public comment. Wilderness advocates hope the public speaks up, even though they also recognize that making a case for the Red Desert as a pristine wilderness could be a tough sell. For one thing, historically, most folks have been in a hurry to get to the other side, whether pioneers on the Oregon Trail or motorists on I-80. Like me, a little nervous about getting lost in all that wide open space. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.